This is Kurt.
And this is Tracy.
And this is the MFG Cast. Hey, y'all.
We haven't done that for a while.
Winnie, winnie, wow.
Okay. What was that? Winnie, winnie, wow?
I don't know. I just made up something. It's terrible.
Okay.
Hey.
Welcome back, everybody.
Hey.
We
are going to be talking about Emberheart from Mind Clash Games.
Have we played a Mind Clash game before?
I feel like we have.
Okay. Well, we don't have to.
We don't need to investigate that.
No. Tell everybody. We're going to jump right into it, huh?
Yeah, let's jump right into that.
Okay. So can you tell everyone the deets on the game?
Yeah. Plays 2 to 4 players. 60 to 90 minutes. Sure. Ages 12 and up. And it was designed by Rob Fisher and Adam Porter. And artist is Andrew Bosley.
Wow. I think that was the best representation of pronouncing someone's name when you read all those names.
Thank you. That's because they were all easy.
I know.
At least for me.
I know. And then you chuckled at the 60 to 90 minutes.
Yeah.
But
I think once you actually learn the game and know how to play the game, then I could see that. But first couple of plays, I don't know about that.
Well, but we all were learning it. We didn't watch videos necessarily. So
no.
Anyway, what is the objective of the game, Kurt?
The objective of the game is to recruit heroes, rescue dragons, and expand your preserves, train your own dragon companion, and oppose the roaming porch. The what? The roaming poachers. Boy, I don't know why I had everything going so good until the poachers part for some reason.
I thought you were going to say we had to manage a roaming porch.
Yeah, that'd be very boring.
That would be a weird game.
That would be a weird
game. Weird.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay, so with the theme of the game, well, not theme of the game, but with the start of how we started this podcast, now let's just roll right into the game.
Yeah.
So we kind of sat through and we're trying to figure out how we wanted to get into this to make it as easy to understand when you're listening to a podcast on this game, and to try to give you a visualization of the game without totally confusing you.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of pieces and parts.
There really is.
So let's talk about the look of the game first, meaning like what is the setup for the board, what's the setup for the players, like what do they have in front of them, and a little intro to some of the important items in the game.
Yeah.
So do you want to start it?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah. So like you said, like you've got your main board, you've got your player boards, you start off with some grunt pieces and some gear. You also get your crest tokens. That's one thing we were talking about. We're like, just player tokens? Or like, you actually have your own crest. So you get those tokens.
Oh, when we were writing it down, we were like, player markers or discs? But they have your crest on them.
Yeah. And you shuffle all the cards for the game board. You put those all out. There's a flame token. And then there's some other little things. But then you're ready to go.
So now that you have everything out of the box, you have everything laying out, the board itself has different sections based on the game. So you have like little different areas that you can go to based on what your needs are as you're playing the game. So you have a Heroes Guild where you can, as you're playing the game, go there and you can recruit a hero based on how much you're willing to pay for them. Mm-hmm. You can pay in grunts, which you put out Underneath that crest, it's like a player disc, and it's the color of your player in the game, and that distinguishes who played those grunts. And there's five spaces on each of these areas that we're going to talk about, and whoever places on the highest spot and going down gets to choose their things first. So in the Heroes Guild, you can choose a hero, and then if you played all grunts underneath your player crest, wow, that is a wordy one, then those grunts all go away. But as the game goes on, you have the ability to acquire other, what would you call them?
Tokens. Like, and
workers,
yeah.
Or your hirelings or something.
Yeah, I think that's what they call them in the rule book is hirelings.
Where if you place those under your crest to help you acquire things during the or over these different sections, then those don't go away. They actually come back to you.
Yeah.
So you'll want to acquire those so you don't lose all of your hirelings and then you're stuck.
Yeah. And for all of the hirelings that are upgraded from the grunts, those actually can only go in certain spots too.
Yep. And we'll talk about that here, I would say, in a little bit when we talk about like a quick round of play.
Yeah.
Okay. So in the Heroes Guild, you can recruit a hero if you're able.
Yep.
If you didn't place on a one and everybody else placed higher than you. So then you can choose that. And heroes can help you for immediate gameplay, and they can also help you with end game scoring.
Mm-hmm.
There's the tavern, which, again, I think I already mentioned this, but every one of these sections has five spaces. So you can choose how many hirelings you want to place under your crest to be able to choose first or last or however you want to do that.
Yeah. So not only is it a worker placement, but it also is a bidding game as well.
Yes, good point. So the tavern has different cards that will place out each round. How many rounds are there?
I want to say there's five or six, if I can remember. Let me go to the instructions, because I don't remember off the top of my head.
So the tavern cards, or cards actually in any of these areas, switch out every round. There are five rounds. And so you'll see different variations of different things every round. But in the tavern round, it's like different workers you can use. So maybe one card would allow you to collect two grunts and some of those other special hirelings that stick around throughout the game. Then the next section is the poacher's camp. And these are more of like the dragons that you rescue. So they're lower value dragons that you can attach to other cards in throughout the game that will help you get points, but they don't have as high of a value, I feel like.
Yep.
And there's also wild dragons in here. So typically there's red, blue, and green, I believe, for dragon colors. But there's also a wild one that would attach to any color.
Yeah.
As wild does.
Mm-hmm.
There's a mountain section where it gradually you climb a mountain, but you have to have a certain number of hirelings underneath your crest to be able to complete this. So some of the values of these dragons might be fives or sevens or threes, like they're shuffled and they're variable, but you also have to get rid of people. And this is where you may get rid of a hireling that you actually, like, quote unquote, paid for to acquire a higher value dragon that would help you at the end of the game. Then there's the preserve, which this is like an area that your dragons will live. So any dragon you acquire from the mountain or the poacher's camp could be attached to this preserve to collect points at the end of the game.
Yeah, but also it also will help you on your player board too, which we'll talk about here.
Oh, yes. Yep. But you can use those dragons to attach to those items. You can actually attach them to your hero that you get from a hero's guild also. And can't you?
No, I don't think so.
I thought you did. Maybe I'm wrong.
Oh, you do. You're right. Oh, actually, you're doing... Yes, you're correct.
Yep.
You're correct.
And you can attach them, I believe, to the next one, which is the garrison.
Yes.
And the garrison allows for you to collect one of those, and it's like an objective that you have to finish by the end of the game.
Yes.
But you can also attach the same color dragon to that one also to score points at the end of the game.
Yeah, and one thing that we didn't talk about that it seems obvious when I say it, but then it's not when you're thinking about it. Like, you can only attach one dragon to each thing. You can't do, like, multiple dragons to, like, a certain, yes, like, hero or spot or something like that. Just so keep that in mind.
You know, I was thinking that as I was talking, and then I didn't say it. There's also, like, if I step back a minute, there are certain things, too, that you can't utilize. Like, some of the heroes in the Heroes Guild have immediate abilities, but only if you have a dragon that you can attach to it. So you might have a dragon in your hand or on your, like, in your play area, and you can attach it to a hero that you acquire at the beginning, and then you can use that immediate play throughout the round or whatever may be. But if you don't have a dragon attached to it, you may not be able to use that action.
Yeah, you can't use that ability, and you don't get the victory points either at the end of the game for what's on the bottom of that hero.
Yep. You have to make it complete, so to speak.
Yep.
Then once the round is over, and when is the round over?
That's after everybody's used up all of their player
crests.
Right? Yes, okay. Correct.
How many do they get?
I think.
Do you want me to keep talking while you?
Yeah, would you keep talking while I remember what that is?
So once we're done with placing everything, or we feel like we're in a good spot. Well, actually, let me go up and talk about two other spaces before I talk about this last spot.
I was going to say, and before you do that, it's 5 player crests per player.
5, okay.
Yeah, so 5 is the magic number, apparently.
Which really is plenty.
Yes, correct.
I feel like.
Uh-huh.
So there's a spot where you can go to the warehouse, and what can you do in the warehouse, Kurt?
In the warehouse, you can get yourself 2 gear.
And what are gear?
Gear are basically a way for you to upgrade from your grunt to something else, or you can even upgrade and trade one of your other workers or hirelings for something else.
Okay. And then the other space is the fire station. And in order to go here, you'd have to also place a crest. Same with the warehouse.
Yes.
And what happens at the fire station?
At the fire station, you're going to get yourself 4 grunts, but you're also going to have to move up on a fire track, which we have not talked about as well.
Okay.
So let's talk about that fire track, too, since we're kind of like rounding out this. So there is a track on the game board where you start at kind of everyone starts in the same spot. And depending upon if you grab, like, say, like a dragon that has positive fire, it would move you up in the fire track. Or if you had something that would make you go down on the fire track, I can't remember if it's like a hero or some such thing.
I think it just says negative fire.
Back. Yeah. Then you would go back in that fire track. And what that helps you do is, depending upon whoever has the most fire by the end of the game, where everyone else is, however many spaces someone is from that player that has the most fire by the end of the game, you'll get extra points for that in-game scoring. We'll talk about
so
that.
So you want to be the player with the lowest.
Yes.
You don't want to have the most fire.
Yes.
I feel like if you remember that if you get the most fire, you'll explode. I don't know.
But also, like, when you're getting fire, it also is helping you getting better stuff during the game, too. So it's like one of those, like, okay, do I do this to get myself more fire, or do I, you know, take a chance and not do as many things so I can get more points for the end of the game?
Yeah, you have to kind of balance it out.
Yes.
And it really was balanced out. But
I think so, too.
And the last section is the poacher's raid, and that happens when the first player to run out of their crest token.
Yes, whoever is the last person to,
Not the last, the first, right? It's not the last person. Whoever chooses to go there first.
Oh, you're talking about the, I see what you're talking about.
What did you think I was talking about?
I had stuff mixed. Don't worry about it. Go for it.
You don't have to use a crest there, right?
No.
Okay. So once you've utilized all of your crests so that those player markers that are your color, then you go to the area that's called the Poacher's Raid. And in the Poacher's Raid, it has two cards that are always changed out each round. And it has four tokens.
It's like abilities, basically.
Yeah.
But this is where I think I got a little mixed up. You don't necessarily have to go there after all your crests are out. You can do that in the middle of the game as well and grab one of those tokens before everybody else. But then
you're done, aren't you? I think you're done with your turn. Oh,
then you're done with your turn.
Hmm. Yep.
Yeah, I don't remember that. Maybe that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. So you go there, and then as the person that, or once you go there, then you get to pick one of those four abilities. So an example of one of the abilities is you get to select one of the two cards that are there that everyone has to follow. And on the cards are, you know, if somebody has grunts in their tableau, they have to get rid of XYZ. Or if you just get to pick whatever one you want to use. So chances are you're going to want to pick the card that is going to not negatively affect you as much as the other one, or it may not affect you at all. And then everyone has to abide by it, even you, but you get the choice of which one is going to impact everybody. The other one is another example of another one is what, Kurt? Do you remember?
The tokens?
Yeah.
So there's like, yeah. So you, like you talked about, one is getting rid of one of the cards. One of them is getting moving down on that fire track twice.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
And then there's two other ones too. So you get to choose as you go there. They keep going away, obviously. And then the last person that goes there gets whatever's left.
Yes. Correct.
Okay. So that is kind of like an overview of what the board is like and what you can do at each section. So that's an overview of the game board, so to speak. We alluded to, I think Kurt alluded to, the player board and the fire track.
Wait, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. We're gonna kind of do like a quick turn, so to speak, like not do a full play-by-play or anything of that, of somebody taking their turn, but maybe adding a couple bits and pieces and sort of an example of having somebody play. But I think that one thing to really talk about that we want to make sure we don't miss is that player board.
Yeah.
So do you want to talk about that?
Sure. So when you got your player boards, you have certain things that you can get during the game. So like I think it's with the preserve that if you match one of those dragons to one of those preserves, it moves you, you move yourself up on one of your tracks on your player board, depending upon the color of the dragon. So I think as far as the red dragons go, the higher up you go, every time you go to grab some grunts, you're going to get extra grunts. So, you know, it's like one, two, or three at the top. But I'm like, who's ever going to get to the top? And then you'll also score some victory points, too, the higher up you go on those certain areas, too. The green one, if I'm not mistaken, is...
Isn't there one with if you're the first to place on a three?
Yes, that is actually the green one. It's like a stipulation, basically. You have to bid on three or higher first to be able to get that ability.
And when you say three or higher first, you mean three or higher. You have to be the first one in that one.
Into that area.
In that section. And so bidding
three or more hirelings, basically. Yep.
So you have to be like the first one to head to the poacher's camp and bid a three. I think it's just a three, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. It is a three. And that's actually the blue section.
Okay. And I didn't think it was green.
Yeah. But. And so the blue section, you're going to get extra gear when you grab gear. And then the green section is being able to move down in the fire track. So the first one is 1, the second one is 2, and the third one is 3. And like I said, is the higher you go, the more victory points you go. And then I think there's a thing that happens when you do that green too, and I can't remember what that is. Because it's got, the symbol has a dragon with a bunch of spots there, and I don't remember if that means that you're the first in that spot. Oh, that's the one. So in the green one, you have to be the first one to get to that spot to be able to get that ability. The blue is you just have to bid on a 3 or higher to be able to get that ability. And then when you're doing that, you're actually putting you get these little dragon companions. That's something we actually also left out. Those are what you put on your crest to be able to do those dragon abilities.
It's fine that we left it out until now because you're not using it until we're explaining
this portion. Yeah.
But yeah, it stands out to know that you're going to be utilizing that. Okay, so if we want to talk about a turn.
Yeah.
Like maybe let's say your first, well, it doesn't really matter what turn it is.
Yeah.
So let's say it's your turn.
Yep.
And how many grunts do we start with? Let's say this is your first turn of the game or something.
Yeah.
How many grunts do we start off with? 9? No, I'm just making it up.
I was like, wait a minute. I was like, that doesn't
sound right. God, I feel like you start with a lot. I think you start out with a lot of grunts.
10. Wow.
Told you.
Yeah, 10
grunts. I was like, 9 didn't sound right. I think it's 10.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's a lot of different things. It sounds like Kurt's going to be able to do a lot of different things, but it depends on what he decides to or where he decides to bid. So maybe he wants to get a hero potentially for his tableau.
Yeah.
And then what he would do, let's say you want to bid a 3 on one of the heroes. Of course, you don't do anything with it. Like, you don't grab a hero right away, but if you want to do a 3, since it's the beginning of the game, you're going to do three of those chafe guys, grunts. Is what I call them. Yeah. Or I think of them as, like, chafe cards, grunts, and then you put your crest on top of it, and then you place it on whatever number you want. So let's say you put 3 there. Let's say you want to rescue one of those poacher camp dragons, and so you're going to put 2 grunts there. So now you only have 5 left, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
You like the cards in the tavern. So you're going to just put 1 grunt there. So what does that get
that's
you?
6 so far. That's how many you're using.
You're going to go to the preserve and you're going to do 2 there with your crust on top. And then you have what? 1 crust left?
That was 8 total. So then you have 2 more.
That wasn't 8. Was it?
Yeah, it was. Yep. 5.
Hey, I don't 3 know
plus
math.
2 plus yep, 1 yep. plus.
Don't know math. I'm just throwing out numbers and I'm just thinking.
Maybe I got it wrong, but don't.
And then you throw the last of your grunts and your crust on top and throw it on the mountain.
Now, do you have to use all of your grunts during your turn?
You don't.
Okay.
But you are going to. And the reason why I'm doing it this time is because you placed in the tavern, so you're going to get people back.
If that's on the card, yeah.
Well, but you get to see them.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. And so chances are you're going to get people back. Like, even my first turn when we played, I used all my grunts, and I thought, I didn't realize that I wasn't getting them back. I guess there was so much we were learning.
Yeah.
I didn't realize, but it was okay. Because
mm-hmm.
some of those cards, you might get 4 or 5 guys back.
Yeah.
So, okay. So let's say now everyone else is placed. I'm not going to talk about everything else.
Yeah.
So you start with the Heroes Guild. No one else went there. How about that? So you choose to pick one. You can place the hero out, but you can't do anything with him right now because
you have dragon to him.
Yeah, you have no dragons because this is the first turn.
Yeah.
So the grunts that you placed underneath your crest get discarded and you take your crest back. Then we move to the next section, which is the tavern. And other people went there too. I can't remember which space you even went to, but I guess it doesn't really matter.
You said the 2 space.
Oh, you remember that.
I remember. You know what? I have the worst memory, but I can remember this, apparently.
Okay. Well, let's say somebody went to the one space and the three space. So the three space gets to pick first. You get to pick second. Let's say you're getting a two grunts and a couple other of those. One of another hireling and another of another hireling. We have not talked about them.
Yes.
So, oh, and another hireling. I don't think that's possible, but we're going to make it possible. Dream about it. Anything's possible.
I'm pretty sure there is a card that you can get.
Okay.
Three of the not chafe hirelings.
But I also added grunts to it.
And there might be something
like that. I don't know. Too. This is a big card and no one took it. So I don't know. That's weird. So his hirelings that he's collecting will eventually go away. But he also gets a scout, which is a token that won't go away unless something indicates it later. And those can only be played as in addition to hireling, or not hirelings. No, I'm saying hirelings.
The grunts.
In addition to grunts. On a few of the spaces. And what's nice about the game is that they show which spaces you can play these hirelings. Or these are called scouts.
Mm-hmm.
And it shows you which spaces you can play the scouts on. And I'll tell you, randomly is nothing you need to remember. So going forward, then Kurt could play his scout on the Heroes Guild, the Tavern, or the Poacher's Camp.
Yep.
Okay. And then he is acquiring a ranger, which is a blue token with a hireling on it. And he's going to be able to play this going forward on the preserve or the garrison. And then there is a warden token, which is purple. And that is going to be placed or played on the mountain only. And that one is one that will go away if you choose to move up higher on the mountain, like I had talked about earlier.
Yeah. So just to kind of recap, the grunts will always go away when you use them. And then the scouts and rangers and wardens, you can only use in certain spots. But once you use them for bidding, they will come back to you unless otherwise stated.
Yes. Yep. And you don't have to remember their names. And again, the board does an amazing job to show you which ones you can place there. So you can't place a scout where it doesn't show you that the scout can be placed there.
Yeah.
Okay. So then Kurt goes on and on and on with his turn. And I figured I would just talk about that one because I wanted to tell you about the other hirelings.
Yeah.
So he goes on. Everyone goes on. Game is, or not the game. That round is like done. Except for everyone is going to the poacher's raid. That area with the four tokens and the two cards. So everyone chooses what tokens and someone chooses the card and everyone has to discard their hirelings appropriately if applicable.
Yeah.
And or applicable.
Yep.
And then round continues.
That's right.
Or the next round starts, I should say.
Yep.
And plays five rounds, right?
Correct.
And how do you win? Or well, obviously you win if you have the most points. This one is. It's not obvious because we haven't said that. But most points wins. How does end game scoring work?
So there's lots of different ways. I'm not going to go through every single spot of it, but I'm just going to kind of go through it to kind of tell you. So it's like you've got so being able to take those certain color dragons and hook them up with different color things like your heroes and your preserves and what's that other thing?
The garrison.
Yeah. Those different garrisons or whatever. Those will get you different victory points at the end. Also, that fire track like we talked about, if you are further away from the person that's furthest ahead, you're going to get more victory points there and everyone else will score there except for that person that is the furthest to the right on the fire track and
end game scoring on the hero cards.
Yep, that's right. Yep, because they'll have a special thing there. And the
garrison?
The garrison. Yeah, because we talked. I kind of included that with all that stuff or whatever.
I think that's it
because I don't think.
No. Do you get.
Oh, I think you get points for gear. It's like for every two gear, I think you get a point, maybe.
What about your track? Or, like, your personal player board?
That is right. Yep. Okay. So the highest unlocked victory points on your player board, that they call that the attribute track. Then you get victory points that way. And that's it.
Oh, we got it all.
We did cut all. Gear does not count for endgame scoring.
The guys don't count.
Your extra people do not count for endgame scoring. I'm sure if there's a tie, but we don't count ties in this house. We do if we have to, but we don't.
No, we don't.
And that's the end of the game.
Yeah.
It seems like a lot. And there is a lot there. Like, trying to learn this game, like, it was like, holy smokes, there's so much here and so much there. But the identification on the board and on the cards and stuff like that is very good. So if you're just paying attention to those icons, it's really easy to kind of look at that and be like, oh, this is what I'm doing here.
I really think it was genius that they added those hireling pictures to the certain sections of the board.
Yes.
So you're not referencing the directions.
Yes.
Or a reference card. Or something like that, because it was the easiest, most discreet way to say, hey, these are the people that can help you along the way. And obviously the grunts can be used anywhere, but you don't have to remember or look it up, because I would be looking it up all the time. Yes. Along with everybody else.
And one thing that I'm conscious of, which it's crazy that I wouldn't be otherwise, but I like that because one of our players, Mike, is colorblind. Any game like this where it has certain colors, which can be kind of like iffy, like that brown color that you talked about, to me, that looks yellow to me. But everyone else is like brown. And I'm like,
But you always see a little bit of a different color than I do.
I must have a weird, like, yeah.
You might be a little bit, if there's such thing as colorblind, with a little tint.
Yeah. But so, like what you said with, like, the pictures of those hirelings, like, that throws all that confusion out the window. So now it's just, okay, I know exactly what this is in here. Even some of the cards are like your heroes are like, if you have this, then you get these many points. Well, it might be something that's from the garrison, but it actually has that icon
of the garrison.
So you know that that's attached to that if you're paying attention, which is, I think, a great thing that they have.
Yep. So we know, like, we're praising them for those little details and stuff. Otherwise, what did you think of the game?
I really like this game. I like the art. I think the art is amazing. I like how well it plays. Because, like, I was telling everybody at before and after we played this game, when it said it was worker placement and bidding, I like both of those things. But when I heard they were together, I was like, I don't know how they're going to make this work and make it seamless. They did. They did a really good job. And I really enjoyed it. And again, it's just, like I said, like, even as we were learning and it took a little bit longer for us to play, I didn't feel like anybody was really stuck going, what do I do here? You know, that kind of thing.
I think the first round, when I spent all of my, what are they? Why can't I think of
grunts?
What they're called? My grunts. And Jason spent all his grunts.
Yeah.
We, for a second, sat there and went, oh my God, what are we going to do? But just because you spent all your grunts doesn't mean there's something you cannot do.
Yes.
Depending on where you went. And I don't remember exactly, like, what our moves were or anything like that, but we were able to do stuff.
Yeah. So, like, going to that firehouse and getting those grunts, all you have to do is put one of your crests there, and that's all you have to do to get those grunts. So that gets you four grunts, which really helps. It pushes you up at the fire track, which sucks, but it's another way to help you keep going.
Well, and it's not like one of those things where you have to put a grunt there to get more grunts. Like, you know, there's some games where you have to, like, pay something to get the same thing back. So it's weird, because then you're like, well, I'm getting this back, so I'm just going to keep it.
Yeah.
Like, then it would be like, I'm going to pay one grunt to get three back instead of to get four back.
Yeah.
Weird. Yeah. That would be weird. But yeah, I don't know.
What just happened there? Come back, Tracy. Come back to me.
Beep, 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 beep.
But okay, can't compute. So I said a lot about this game. What did you think?
I liked it. I never researched it or anything before we started playing it. So I didn't know anything about it. The only thing that freaked me out about it was the real faces on
the player boards.
The
right?
player boards.
Yeah. I love like, that it you're was freaked like, out about that.
It was okay, it didn't freak me out. It was just weird to me. Like it was like all of the rest of it, it's like they didn't fit or something.
Yeah.
It doesn't stop your gameplay, but like on your player boards, it's almost like somebody like cut out some faces out of a magazine and pasted them onto your player board.
Yeah.
It was weird.
I wonder if maybe this kickstarted and whoever pledged really high got to get their
or it's
likeness
the creators
on it. Yeah.
Because you read several names and so maybe that's it too. Yeah, I was thinking that same thing, but yeah. I don't know. That's the only thing that kind of freaked me out. I liked it honestly probably more than I thought that I would, and I would like to play it again because I want to try a different strategy now that I kind of know more about the game.
Yeah, and I think the player board actually has a B-side, which gets you different stuff, or is that the game board itself? I can't remember.
I don't remember, but I also heard that's tough.
Oh, for real?
Yeah, wasn't Mike saying that it's just... It was tough.
Yeah.
Or maybe I'm thinking a different game.
Must be. Yeah, there's a B-side to the player boards, which probably,
not to the main board.
Not to the main board.
Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, it could make it a little more challenging, which is good. You don't want something to get stale, you know?
Right. So. Well, that and I, going back to playing it a little bit different, I would have tried to focus a little bit on my player track too, because I didn't start moving up items on my player track until the last round, I think, or maybe the fourth round and fifth round. And I was like behind compared to everyone else. And then I felt like I caught up, and I think I could have done even better.
Yeah.
If I would have kind of focused on that, but I was like hyper focused on something else, and I made a kind of a wrong move in my first round because I read an icon wrong, but that was my bad. It's not because it was bad in the game.
Yeah.
I think I had something stuck in my head that it was something else. So, yeah. But otherwise, yeah, I liked it a lot.
Yeah.
And I would play it again.
Yeah.
Maybe put my face from a magazine on top of the... No, I'm just kidding.
To okay. really freak everybody
well,
out.
Well, I would freak myself out because I don't want to see that. But cool. Yeah, I definitely check this game out.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's worth it. Like, even if you don't really care for the theme of, like, dragons and stuff like that, like, there's not a reason to not like this game because of the theme, because it's still, again, a worker placement bidding game that...
Just pretend you're rescuing dogs.
There you go.
And their tails or something.
And if you don't like dogs, you're a psychopath. Sorry.
Whoa. Holy man.
Just kidding. That was terrible.
So when did this game come out?
This came... What?
How this did, came...
Why am I saying stuff
this
wrong?
This game came out...
This game came out in 2025.
Okay. So and the reason why I asked is because I was going to say shop local,
yes,
go to your local game store. But if it came out in like 2010 or something like that, it might be a little bit more difficult, but I would imagine that this one would still be in a game store.
Possibly.
Locally, possibly.
Yeah.
But I would try there first.
Yeah.
And then
maybe do like Noble Knight Games, which always collects like harder to find games and stuff like that.
Love Noble Knight Games.
Yes. They always have like really good quality. They're always really good in communicating and shipping too. So try them out if
and
you
they,
can't get them local.
And they sell gently used games too, if you're cool with that.
Yes.
We've done that before.
Yes. Because a lot of games that you're going to find that are not in print anymore, most of them will be lightly used. But again, still great quality. So.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. Well, We talked about this at length, which is awesome. I always love games like this where you can kind of talk everybody's ear off about how cool it is. So, yeah, hopefully you can grab yourself a copy. If not, play with a friend. And until next time, I'm Kurt.
And I'm Tracy.
And this was the UFGCast.
Bye, everyone.
This podcast is a proud member of the Legends of Tabletop Broadcast Network. For more gaming-related content, please visit www.legendsoftabletop.com.